And coming soon to a theater near you, near all of us, really, Togas on Parade. There's Troy with Brad Pitt as Achilles, and in November, Alexander with Colin Farrell as the King. Two classically-minded television miniseries are also lensing, as they say right now, ABC's Empire, told from the point of view of the first Roman emperor, Octavius, and HBO's Rome, with a plebe's eye view of the Empire. Movies about Hannibal and Socrates are also in planning stages, and Ridley Scott still hopes to make Gladiator II. Pat Dahl reports on why there's so much interest in ancient history right now.
The most obvious reason that Hollywood has revived the sword and sandal epic, as the trade paper Variety dubs these movies, is the box office success of Gladiator 4 years ago. But that movie project was considered enormously risky right up until opening day. Screenwriter and producer David Franzoni says Steven Spielberg gave the project a nickname.
You know, originally Steven wanted to call it the Hot Rod Project so that no one would get wind of it and steal it. And then it became apparent to us that when people knew about it, they just thought we were nuts anyway, and nobody was going to even think about doing a Gladiator movie.
Franzoni says Gladiator succeeded because, in his words, it's about us. Ancient Rome has fascinated Americans since the colonial age. One of the first films made here dates to 1907, when movie makers borrowed costumes from the Metropolitan Opera to film the Ben-Hur chariot race, says Margaret Malamud. She teaches ancient history and Islamic studies at New Mexico State University. Her specialty is the intersection of classical antiquity and popular culture. She says Americans have used Rome to mean different things at different times.
We, at times, identify with the virtuous republic, and at times we're very worried that we might be sliding into the decadence and the corruption and the materialism, the imperial overreach of Rome. So these narratives about Rome serve as a kind of metaphor for the state of the nation, the state of America.
The 1930s saw a surge of sword and sandal movies. In 1932, Cecil B. DeMille remade Sign of the Cross. It had been a famous toga play, a form of 19th-century stage melodrama about Christians martyred in Rome. Malamud says DeMille used it to buck up Americans devastated by the Great Depression.
What DeMille was up to was he intended the film to serve as a kind of parable for America, for Depression America. And the message was really quite conservative, that we should look back to our ancestors, and for him, the ancestors were Jews and Christians, and we should take an example from them and be willing to try to triumph through adversity, and there will be reward in the afterlife.
Try to remember his courage. Look up. Trust him.
Sign of the Cross is also a good example of the other side of America's fascination with ancient Rome, its debauchery. Sword and sandal epics have always had gladiators and orgies.
Wonder the naked moon, I found you, we meet, I've seen you in my dreams.
Sign of the Cross was re-released during World War II, with an added preface comparing Emperor Nero to the Axis leaders. Films about Rome and Greece reached their peak in the 1950s. In 1959, Ben-Hur expressed America's Cold War fears of the increasingly threatening empire that was the Soviet Union.
I warn you, Rome is an affront to God. Rome is strangling my people and my country, the whole earth, but not forever. I tell you, the day Rome falls, there will be a shout of freedom such as the world has never heard before.
In fact, in the 1950s, the Romans subbed for just about anybody's bad guys, says scholar Margaret Malamud.
They could stand in for atheistic Soviets. They could stand in for Italian fascists from the World War II era. They could even stand in for McCarthyites.
As they did in Spartacus, the 1960 epic that helped break the blacklist in Hollywood. It started as a novel about a slave revolt by American communist Howard Fast. It was adapted for film by blacklisted writer Dalton Trumbo. The movie ends with an allusion to the naming of names demanded by the House Committee on Un-American Activities. The victorious Roman general offers life to any of the captured slaves who'll identify Spartacus. They defy him.
I'm Spartacus!
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 In the late 60s, Greek and Roman subjects fell out of favor in Hollywood, largely because they were so expensive to film. Elizabeth Taylor's Cleopatra nearly bankrupted its studio in 1963. By the time Oliver Stone entered film school 5 years later, he thought he'd never be able to shoot the movie that filled his daydreams.
I had a documentary film crew, and I managed to slip through the cracks of time and go back to the 4th century Greece and be with Alexander on his campaigns in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And I was there. I was, you know, your strong fantasies. Never thought I could ever do a movie.
Movies about ancient Greece are far less common than movies about Rome. Oliver Stone's upcoming Alexander and the imminent Troy are tales of war and conquest, tales that have a particular resonance today.
No son of Troy will ever submit to a foreign ruler.
Then every son of Troy shall die.
Malamud says that Americans will be searching in these ancient tales, as they've always done, for ways to understand what's happening now.
There is this sense now that we're on the verge of being swept into an epical conflict. And there seems to be a desire to look to the past for paradigms of clashes between cultures or civilizations. And perhaps Alexander speaks to that as well, because Alexander conquered the East, and he took vengeance for the sacking of Athens by the Persians.
Whose descendants are now the people of Iran. War, intrigue, political ambition, and corrupt government are also the themes of ABC's Roman epic, Empire, says executive producer Neil Marin. The series follows the rise of Octavius, who became Rome's first emperor. Marin says another theme of the miniseries, which airs in November, is leadership.
Because it's a boy who nobody thought had any abilities, who winds up becoming the greatest emperor that Rome ever had.
The contemporary meaning of Rome, says David Franzoni, is even more evident now than when he wrote and produced Gladiator.
Rome is about America more than any other country in the world, I think, and not so much because of its nastiness, but because of its political structure and its social structure. If you look at a bit of what's going on today with the Homeland Security Act and all this, there are sort of resonances of what began the erosion of the democratic process in Rome going on in America right now. And at the same time, how people are completely mesmerized by entertainment.
Entertainment, says Franzoni, is a sword that cuts two ways. He's already written a script about Hannibal, who brought his army over the Alps and occupied Rome. Vin Diesel will star. But Franzoni also has a dream project, writing and directing a film about the trial of Greek philosopher Socrates, who was forced to drink poison for defying his government. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.
And our thanks to member station KRWG in Las Cruces, New Mexico, for their extraordinary assistance on this story.